In the name of Jesus for this time.
And we ask you, like Ephesians said, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that we would receive wisdom, not from what Larry or Carol or anybody says, but that your Holy Spirit would bring wisdom, revelation, knowledge into the hearts of everybody under the sound of these voices right here, right now. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Lights.
Return to Mother of May.
the castle they were in.
Yeah, that was the house of David. Yep. City of David, rather.
Yep. The old city of Jerusalem. City of David.
City of David.
I
want to
name that CD, Larry.
I have returned.
It was a Gaither's DVD. Yes.
God of my father's.
Yeah.
God of my father. Okay.
I really enjoy getting your follow-up email to us. I enjoy the follow-up email with the audio that goes with it.
Yes. It's in there.
The URL to the song.
I don't know. I'll see.
Okay. That way I could send it some other man.
He has a Jewish friend I think he's working with.
You know, if you look, do you know how to use the iTunes on your... what's it called?
iTunes.
Not iTunes. Oh. YouTube. Do you know how to ever use YouTube?
Yes, I know how to
use YouTube and put Gaither in there. It should, but I'll see if I can do it. Yes, Reggie.
Larry.
Yes, sir.
I got it if anybody wants a copy.
He's got it. Can you bring him a copy?
Yeah.
Okay. Has anybody ever had a quote unquote storm in your life? Anybody not have a quote? You know, what's interesting is one of the first books written about the Bible was Job. It was interesting that even in that very primitive time, that the storm that Job endured, even though it was caused by Satan, actually turned to everybody's advantage. It turned to Job's advantage. It turned to God's advantage. It turned to other people's advantage. Every time a quote-unquote storm happens in your life, you need to know that the God of the universe, the God who created everything, the God that said, let there be light, if you cooperate with him like this lesson says, not only will he deliver you from the storm, but he'll bring in fruit from the storm. That couldn't have been brought in without the storm. Amen? Okay, we're dismissed. We're going to take Isaiah 40. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and the people and the Christians that we're talking to, and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight a desert highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. For the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry out, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are as grass. Now that's the way we're meant to feel when storms come up. Okay? Who am I? The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word, everybody say the word of the Lord.
Word.
Stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up to the high mountains, O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up and be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will flee his flock like a shepherd, and he will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them into his bosom, and gently lead those who are with him with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated dust earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Who has counseled, taught him? With whom did he take counsel? Who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Make sure we got the same lesson on page 2. Does it say Isaiah 40 says who you are?
Okay. Yes.
Now remember that when storms come, without God, you are helpless. Behold, the nations and we are as a drop in the bucket. We're counted as in small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor is to be sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted by him as less than nothing and worthless. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare to him? The workman molds an image, the goldsmith overspreads it with gold, and the silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image. What he's saying here, in part, actually I should have included part of page one in here, because it tells how weak we are. But what this says on page two is, we all build idols of some sort, rather than just trusting the Lord. We have all sorts of idols. It may not be a statue, probably is not. Maybe it's just our own self-sufficiency, maybe it's just our own desire to go work something out. But now, see who God is. What is your strength? Okay, so we know that we're nothing when storms come, right? But look who God is. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he who sits upon the circle of the earth, and his inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. Just a quick testimony. Many, many years before the Trade Towers fell, I was up on a very top floor. Very, very top floor. And I looked down at the street, and the taxi cab looked smaller than an ant. And this scripture came to my mind.
It was in Bernie Cantor's office.
Yeah, it was in Bernie Cantor's office. The main business up there. Okay, anyway. Verse 23, he who brings the princes to nothing and makes the judges of the earth useless. This is God, talking about God, okay? Scared, but you know, when storms come, you think that the perpetrator of the storm is more powerful than you are. And without God, he is. 24, scarcely they shall be planted, scarcely they shall be sown, scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth. When he will also blow on them, and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who's created these things. That's a good place to start when you got a storm. Go outside, look at the stars and the moon. He calls them by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. He's got a name for every single star out there. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? Does anybody ever feel that way when a storm comes? God doesn't know where I'm located. If he did, what's going on? Is that right? My way is hidden. And just my claim is passed over by God. Page 3. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God. Say the everlasting God. The creator, the Lord, the creator of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Last night I was talking to one of my grandchildren about a super book they were watching about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And we were talking about creation. And how God never did not exist. He always existed. And then how he spoke. And they showed this in the Superbook video. If you think Superbook is only for kids, you're wrong. You ought to buy some Superbooks. I mean, they're really anointed.
Especially the new ones.
Yeah. And the kind of God, you mean there is such a being that never did not exist? He always existed. He's not like that Satan devil. He's not like this devil that they saw in the Superbook. He's God. He's always been there. God gives you wings like an eagle to allow the storm to lift you up into his presence and to overcome the enemy that caused the storm. He gives, verse 29, he gives power to the weak, and to those having might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount with wings like eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Say this, but those who wait on the Lord. You know, Carol often says that God's love and his salvation is without conditions. Without conditions. But often, the blessings are with conditions. And this is one blessing that's with a condition. The condition is wait. Everybody say wait.
Please.
And then we'll talk about what an eagle does.
I was reading in a devotion the other day that God's covenant with Israel is unconditional. He made a covenant that he said would go forever. But his conditions, if you do this, then I'll bless you. Well, you know, the covenant that we have with the Lord through Jesus Christ, the blood covenant, is very, very real. And it's based on the unconditional love of God. There's nothing we can do to earn that. But if we want blessings in our life, we better not be lying and cheating and stealing and doing things, because if you think he's going to bless that, he knows everything. So he makes it real clear. If you do these things according to, you know, what I want you to do, if you pay your tithes, you give to the poor, then there are all kinds of blessings that God has for us.
The condition here is wait. Everybody say wait again.
Wait.
What do you mean wait?
Larry.
Who's that? Yeah.
You know, as Carol was saying, what she was saying, and it talks about wait on the Lord. That wait also is, you know, we have to wait to be able to hear him. But we have to search our heart for unforgiveness and the things that are holding us down and that's boggling us down. Our judgment call on other people and stuff of that nature.
That's one of the things we have to do while we're waiting. I didn't have that in my notes, but let me go. Yes, Rose.
Talking about how big God is. One day I was in church and sitting down there and just praying and thinking about it. He said, I'm bigger than anything that you could ever think. I am in these walls. I am in here, everywhere. Every inch, every ounce of this space is taken up by me and my love. Amen. Do not forget it. I love you and I love you all the time. Even though you don't do like you should, maybe, I still love you. I love you.
Amen. Thank you, brothers.
Well, this condition upon wait. If you wait on the Lord, then he'll... And we're going to talk about what rising up like an eagle means, because that's really the... But let's talk about wait. These are some notes that are not in your lesson. Wait does not mean to do nothing. It just means that we do not have the resources to solve our problems. Only he does. It means to not take things into our own hands unless, like Tina said, he definitely speaks. Do not take things into our own hands unless he definitely speaks. If he doesn't speak, then by golly, wait. This requires a close relationship, like Tina said. So this blessing is conditional upon, number one, having that close relationship with God and knowing that you can trust him to wait and not touch that thing to try to solve the problem yourself. Isaiah 40 shows how weak we are, but how he is strong and how he desires closeness. Wait includes prayer. Waiting includes prayer and repentance, like Tina said, including praying the word of God. That's a big deal. Speaking the word. If you don't think you can grab hold of this problem and solve it, then wait and get in the Word and speak it out. Okay, let's talk about the eagle.
Dan has something to say there.
Where's Dan?
This concept of waiting is a difficult concept to grasp.
Yes, it is.
And I think about what so often we do is we have an internal yearning to see the promises of God fulfilled in our life. And when we act on those promises by claiming them, we anticipate them coming. People have told me, Dan, there's God's answers to your prayers are yes, no, and not yet. I believe that he's only got two questions, two responses, yes and not yet, okay? But we don't understand the importance of waiting and trusting him.
That's right. Let's see if you do wait. And don't stick your hand in the situation. This is something that I wrote many, many years ago. It's in one of my books. Don't be a chicken, you're an eagle. Who was that man, that old pastor from Mount Perrin Central, that told us this story? I forget his name. One day, an eagle's egg fell from its nest and rolled into a chicken pen. Everybody get see that picture? There's an eagle's nest up here, and there was an eagle's egg, and it rolled down into a chicken pen. The eagle was born with the chickens and acted like a chicken. It looked around and said, I'm just like him. Let me just go, quack, quack, just like them, right? But it kept seeing a difference as it grew. No one was there to tell it that it was not a chicken, but an eagle. When storms came, the eagles would rush off to the chicken house with the rest of the chickens running for cover. Okay, so this little eagle down here, baby eagle, with the chickens, they don't, there's a storm coming. Okay. But the eagles always looked over his shoulder and looked up. And he saw these other strange birds on the cliff. They were not afraid. They were not running. They were standing with their wings locked in the special sockets that makes them like a wing welded to the fuselage in an airplane. Now, when the eagle raises its wing, there's a little joint in here. It goes click. And it's there. They don't have to hold it up. It's locked in. They don't pick any energy to hold it up. It goes click. Okay? They gazed right into the storm. Storm wasn't there yet, but they were gazing right into the storm with their wings up, and they were looking right at it. Everybody got that? Though it was still miles away. They waited and waited, and then bang, the storm hit, but instead of hurting them, all it did was make them to soar. Because that wind, just before the worst part of the storm, was enough to raise them up. They went straight up into the air, 10 to 15,000 feet above the storm into clear air. The eagle will say to them to himself, oh man, look at those guys. I wish I were like them. This little guy down in the chicken pen, you know. One day he looked up and saw an eagle flying and soaring high with the storm. All of a sudden he knew, I'm not a chicken, I'm an eagle. Why should I run? He climbed the hill, locked his wings, and he took off and soared. My friend, you are not a mere human. You are not a chicken. You are made to soar in the heavenlies with Christ, so look up. Now remember the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4. Satan came to steal the word of God sown in your heart. Today a seed of who you are was sown. Tomorrow stand fast if discouragement comes through some circumstances. The word is true. Circumstances come and go. God turns your storms into victories for the kingdom of God. Notice in Psalms 37, which is below, in Matthew 5, that those that wait upon the Lord and allow God to raise them up above the storms as eagles shall inherit people for the kingdom of God. Let's look at one of those down here. Look at Psalms 37 and just go down to verse 11. But the meek, wait. Hey, go to verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord, it's in Psalms 37, they shall inherit the earth. Inherit infers to bring the unbelievers into the kingdom of God. Now let me tell you something. Number one, these eagles got up above the storm, right? Number two, they looked down on the storm, right? Didn't hurt them. But number three, while eagles usually eat live food, they like live fish, they also eat a lot of dead varmints after storms. They'll go down to the beach with a lot of dead fish, and they'll scoop them up. They'll scoop up the dead squirrels that the storm killed, and they'll scoop them up. They're inheriting things. It works to their advantage. The storm works to their advantage. They inherit stuff. They get stuff. We don't get dead fish. We get live people. Bring them into the kingdom of God. There are many, many people that cannot be saved without us going through a storm. Period. Job's friends were saved because he went through, you ask Job right now, Job, was it worth it to have all your family killed like that? Was it worth it to lose all your stuff? Was it worth it to be filled with boils? And he'll look over at his friends that God saved in heaven. He said, yeah, that was temporary, but look at these guys, they're in heaven. Everybody with me? He said, oh my Lord, oh my, in the last chapter, he said, you know, I've heard of you, but now my eyes see you.
Amen. Larry, may I say something?
Yeah.
You know, you have to kind of rise up like those eagles
when the storms come, and you have to get a picture of the I Am, the great creator. And that song that we had on this morning talks about I've returned to the God of my fathers, the creator of heaven and earth. And sometimes, I think in a lot of days, we just have to keep pulling back up out of whatever we're going through, get our eyes on the creator, the Lord God Almighty and Jesus, in order to weather the storms because they're intense.
When I feel like doing something in a storm and I'm not sure, Larry? I say to myself, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It is not I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now, Jesus, if you want me to grab a hold of something, I'll grab a hold of it. But if you don't tell me to, all I know is it's going to mess things up.
Just a small testimony from our family. My cousin at age 25 passed away, and it was due to drugs and alcohol. It was pretty devastating for our family. But part of that, alcohol ran very deep in our family, to the point that I can recall thinking as a little girl, I couldn't wait till I got old enough I could get drunk with my uncles and them. But as I say that, when my cousin PJ passed away, there was a amazing devastation in our family. But there was also a shift that took place. And that shift took place that for my generation, we got upset and decided, hold it, Satan ain't taking nothing else from us. And now you've got two pastors out of my generation. You've got missionaries on the field. And it's amazing because my uncles that used to go and drink and stuff like that, now we all sit and have Bible study together. So there is a lot that comes out of it, but it's even, you have to look at the situation and say, God, what's here? Because we just left from Florida with Barry having surgery, and he had to have his gallbladder and some other stuff done. But the reason I tell you this story is when Barry got moved back to another hospital, which that was his fourth hospital, we were a little upset. You know, what's going on here? Four hospitals, still not got things done. The gentleman that was beside him in the room was dying. They had already resuscitated him twice, and now they were resuscitating him before we left a third time. But that day, Barry got to talk to him about the Lord.
Wow.
Mark got to pray with him. Mark. And then, before all that finished out, the guys were there, and when he went through his third resuscitation, his entire family came, and we were able to minister to the family because we were there. So don't look at the storm.
It's a storm.
Take your eyes and look at what's going on.
Luke 11. Who's got a Bible? Luke 11. I don't have my... Luke 11, 22. I think it's 22. Luke. I think it's 22. Let me see. Let me see it. Where does 22 start? Wait. Start with 21.
When a strong man, fully armed, guarded his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all of his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils.
That's it. Thank you. I forgot it was in the lesson. So when you overcome, when you get up into the storm, you're overcoming demonic forces.
Yes.
You take the demonic forces. The demonic forces loses its people that it's got in its hand.
Amen.
Just like in the hospital. They wanted to take that man to hell. But the storms saved him. Let's see. It was the next birth. It was the next thing I was going to read, wasn't it? Okay. Okay. Again, in Psalms, at the bottom of page 4, Psalms 37, 21 to 22. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. Though he falls down, it will be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. There's inherit the earth. Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek defined as gentleness of spirit. Those who wait upon the Lord, for they know they have no power. That's what that means in the, was it Matthew 5? Blessed are those who wait upon the Lord, basically was saying, meek enough to know that they can't do anything in a storm. Because they shall inherit. Yes, Paula.
When we start looking at the eagle, all other birds, or most of the birds, flap their wings.
Right.
They go on their own strength, though.
That's right.
But the eagle lets the wind take them up. The only way, that's why we're so sore with the eagle, is because God, the wind of the Holy Spirit underneath
Amen.
Us, lifts us
Amen.
Up above that storm. So if the storm is down below us, and if we don't wait on God, we're flapping our wings trying to...
Come on now, that's it.
Good preaching.
Yeah.
Good preaching.
Yeah.
Who wants to flap their wings? That's right.
You know, I used to tell my kids when they were little, just like you bring your broken toy for me to fix.
I know you've seen a little boy bring an airplane and it's broken its little wing.
Yeah.
They tell you, glue it back together, Mom. You glue it back together and you put it up on the refrigerator. Wait, son. Just wait. And you go to do something else, and he's climbed up on the chair and taken it down, and the glue hadn't set. The time hadn't been right for that little airplane to take off. So just like Robert brought his broken toy for me to fix, I took my broken dreams to God because he was my friend. Then instead of waiting, leaving him in peace to work alone, I stuck around and tried to help in ways that were my own. At last, I snatched them back and said, "How could you be so slow?" "What could I do, my child?" he said. "You never did let go." And so when we keep taking these problems and we try to fix them and we go and try to fix our children and our grandchildren and our neighbors and these people that we're praying for, and we try to fix them rather than just loving them and leaving them for the Lord to let that glue dry or to put those things in place, then we're taking that airplane and destroying it.
Oftentimes, during the day, we just have to shift the focus. Wait a minute, is my life about today, or is it about eternity?
Amen.
And sometimes just that little thought can really help. Let's see what Streams in the Desert said about this January 14th. "But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Page 5. "They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Many are the lessons to be learned from the present chaotic world condition. We are taught the way of simple faith as we are driven back to the Word of God in prayer. We should make use of those adverse conditions. There's a lesson for us to learn from the eagles, who sits on the edge of the precipice and watches the dark clouds overhead, filling the sky with blackness. There he sits perfectly still, turning one eye and the other towards the storm as the forked lightnings play back and forth. He never moves a feather until he feels the first breath of the breeze. It is then he knows that the hurricane has struck him. With a scream, He swings his breast to the storm. That's all he did. He just swings around. It is the storm itself that he uses to soar upward into the black sky. He goes borne upon it. God wants this experience to take place in the lives of every one of his children. He wants us to mount up in wings as eagles. We can turn the storm clouds into a chariot. Amen. We never get anywhere nor do conditions and circumstances change by looking at the dark side of life. A well-known man of God made this statement: "My religious organs have been ailing for a while past. I have a lame, sheer hulk in consequence. But I got my wings and have taken a change of the air." It is so often true. We do not use our wings. We walk along the road of life as mere pedestrians, and we tire so easily, for the ugliness of our circumstances burdens us down. In many different ways, we can be put on the shelf or become bedridden, and our religious organs are in danger because becoming sickly, of losing their brightness, both in mood and discernment. We who keep too close to the road of life do not respond to the upward calling, do not have time to breathe the lofty air of the heavenlies. But we who turn unto the Lord, the Omnipotent One, have the power of wings, and we rise up from our tiresome journey into the higher heavens. Praise God! This is the glories of our Most High God. I watched a bird upon a fragile stem. It seemed it would surely break with him. He did not seem to worry or to mind for all this swaying in the wind. He sat erect and sang his lifting song. He felt so very sure, so very strong, for he had wings. Psalms 27, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, he'll strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Here's another one from Streams in the Desert. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God, Isaiah 40. Store up comfort. This was the prophet Isaiah's mission. The world is full of hurting and comfortless hearts. But before you will be competent for this lofty ministry, you must be trained. And your training is extremely costly. Everybody hear that? For to make it complete, you too must endure the same afflictions that are wringing countless hearts of tears and blood. Consequently, your own life becomes a hospital ward where you are taught the divine art of comfort. You will be wounded so that in the binding up of your wounds by the great physician, you may learn how to render first aid to the wounded everywhere. That's quite a statement. We're here not for ourselves, we're here to serve, right? Amen. Over the next 10 years, you will find many others afflicted in the same way. You will tell them how you suffered and you were comforted. As the story unfolds, God will apply the anesthetic he once used on you. He'll apply it to them. Then in an eager look, following by the gleam of hope that chases the shadow of despair from the soul, you will know why you were so afflicted, and you will bless God for the discipline that filled your life with such a treasure of experience and helplessness. They tell me I must bruise the rose leaf ere I can keep and use its fragrance brief. They tell me I must break the skylark's heart ere her cage song will make the silence dark. They tell me love must bleed and friendship weep ere in my deepest need I touch that deep mist. It'd be always so. With precious things must they be bruised and go? With beaten wings, ah yes. By crushing days, by caging nights, by scars of thorn and stormy ways, his blessings are. Carol, would you pray?
Lord Jesus, we come before your throne of grace this morning to receive mercy and help in our times of need. And Lord, we're so grateful for each person in this classroom. As I've looked around the room, it's like having a family reunion. We've missed everyone.
Amen.
Through these last few weeks. It's been such a blessing to look at each face and to have this reunion. To know that for this time, in this hour, on January the 15th, 2017, we have this moment to open this precious book with India pages and digital pages. And to pull out the Word of God, the living Word, so that in that living word we can find strength and help and grace to help us cope with all of the afflictions that come our way, and to help us be able to comfort others who are going through afflictions. Lord, we have to get our eyes back on you when we're suffering in the storms. Lord, sometimes it seems that when we're going through something, that the enemy tries to beat us up and tell us, well, it's your fault. If you hadn't done this, this wouldn't have happened. And Lord, sometimes we just have to get our eyes on you and let you lift us up to that place where we can see eternity. And Lord, we need that. Everyone in this classroom, I know, needs it in some parameter of their life. And Lord, we're coming to you, God. We're asking you at your throne of grace for that mercy and that help that is only divine. It's not anything that the doctor can give us or the lawyer can give us or a professional can give us. But it's directly from you, God. We need a divine intervention in our lives, Father. And we thank you in advance, giving you all the praise, all the honor, and all of the glory, Lord. And we want to thank you this morning. We ask you to anoint our worship service this morning. Take us out of here, Lord. Help our hearts and our minds and our spirits to sense that anointing which breaks all kinds of bondages and yokes that have tried to put us in bondage this week, this past month, this past year, this past lifetime. Free us, Lord, from things that have tried to make us captive to issues that are of no importance. And we want to thank you in advance, Lord, in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. We really enjoyed seeing you. We missed you so much. Wow.